You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Last night's Chiefs-Patriots game started as a defensive slugfest before the touchdowns really started coming in the second half. Patrick Mahomes threw two TD passes in a seven-minute span in the second half, and New England had to turn to third-string QB Jarrett Stidham to get them on the board after Brian Hoyer missed several chances in the red zone. However, the man Bill Belichick calls Stid was picked off midway through the fourth quarter, and Tyrann Mathieu scored on a pick six to make the final score 26-10. So, Shannon, would the Patriots have won with Cam Newton?
Skip, it's always hard to say that, but I think they definitely would have had a chance because I believe Brian Hoyer cost them six, at the bare minimum, 6 points, Skip. Skip, how do you not know? You get sacked, and then he jumped up calling timeout. Bro, you used the last one. Mm-hmm. That cost him that cost him 3 points, Skip. And then the strip sack, you let Taco Truck. Oh, Taco. That's old Taco Truck. Yeah, man. Taco Truck.
We miss him.
I bet y'all.
It used to be Taco Sunday in Dallas, thanks to Taco Truck. Where has he been? Oh, we dumped him.
Y'all dumped him.
Now we could use him.
You can use him. You definitely could use him. Skip, and so that's 6 points right there. Julian Edelman gave up another 7 points on the pick six. Skip, I don't know if you noticed this, and a lot of people at home won't notice it, but I notice it. He's starting to flinch. He's been involved in so many collisions. He caught a fourth down last night, and the guy, and he flinched because he thought the guy was going to get him. So he's starting to flinch, and he dropped the pass early in the game. Mm. And the guy ended up catching it on the carom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Jules, come on, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But he's starting to expect collisions, and it's starting to affect his ability to catch the football cleanly. Mm. So that's 6 points. You gave up 13. The defense played outstanding. Coach Belichick did a great thing. He said, you know what? In order to beat Mahomes, we need to possess the football, run it. They ran the football really well. They're one of the better running teams in all of football. Possess the football, shorten the game, Skip. I'm gonna minimize Mahomes, boy. He didn't play all that man coverage. You played a lot of zone. Rush three, drop eight. Rush four, drop seven. Had him Mahomes fooled for the better part of at least the first 2.5 quarters. And then Mahomes started to figure it out, like, oh, you're going to drop all these guys 30 yards deep. I'm just going to take off running on you and pick it up first down with his feet. So, Skip, I believe, I hate saying this, but I believe they would have, I believe Cam them would have pulled the upset.
Mm.
Considering how they New England played last night, now maybe, Skip, because Cam wasn't there, they let their guard down. Maybe they would have, Spagnuolo would have called the game differently. Maybe they would have done some things differently. Because now you get into a battle that's going back and forth. But I don't think they were ever really concerned about Brian Hoyer or when Stids came in,
mm-hmm.
winning that ball game.
Mm.
But Skip, I will say this. To think that Coach Belichick was going to go into a regular season with Stids and Brian Hoyer as his starters.
We talked about it for months. And it sounded like it was Stids. And the way he handled it last night, if there were no Cam going foot for the rest of the year, I think it would be Stid going forward, right?
Yes. So for me, Skip, I do. I mean, they were combined 20 of 37, one touchdown, one TD pass, and four turnovers.
Mm.
Can't turn the football up. When you're so challenged to score the football, Skip, you can't turn it over.
Mm.
You can't give them points on your possessions, and you cannot turn the football over against that team because the offense is so explosive, even though it didn't look that way last night.
Mm. Interesting. So, I tried to tell you late last week and then again yesterday, I would have given Cam a great shot at winning this game. I told you twice that. They definitely would have covered, I believe, with Cam because he would have kept him right in the game. This one got away from them. It wound up 26-10. And yet, my takeaway from this game was your homeboy wasn't all that he was cracked up to be.
Don't do that, Skip.
Well, I'm just telling you, I sit back and I watch him night after night, game after game, and he'll have spectacular and then ho-hum by his standards. The one at Chargers was pretty ho-hum. It went all the way to overtime, and they were down early in the fourth quarter, what, 17-9?
You do realize, Skip.
Interesting.
That this man has not lost in September in his career. You do realize that, right?
You do realize last night he had a QBR of 60, which is not that much above average. It was his worst of the year. And if you recall, in the Super Bowl, he had a 64, which wasn't all that much above average.
Where did he have that 64 at? What game was that he had that 64 in?
They were down in the Super Bowl 20-10 late third quarter, and he threw a bad interception. And they were still down 20-10 early in the fourth quarter, and he threw another even worse interception. And then he got away with a 3rd-and-15 throw with a rusher right in his face in which he sort of no-looked flung it into the left flat. And it was just basically a jump ball. It was a punt, and Tyreek had to wave his hand and come back and fair catch it. And he got away with that, and that broke the Super Bowl open and allowed them to win it. And if he hadn't been up against Jimmy Garoppolo, or if he hadn't been up against last night Brian Hoyer, he was going to lose the Super Bowl and lose last night. Huh. That's what I believe.
So he threw it.
So I don't know about this zero ballot Hall of Famer who is Patrick Mahomes.
He's done. There. Slam dunk.
Well, he's there. It's in. Yeah. Says Hall of Famer Shannon.
Yeah, he's there.
You've already had an early, a silent vote?
No.
Secret vote?
No, actually, we don't. Yep. A lot of the players, we don't have a vote. But Skip, but you just keep, you keep harping back and say, well, Mahomes threw an interception. But I thought the mark of a great quarterback is to overcome it. Because I know a guy that threw a pick six early on Sunday. Mm. his second one of the season.
And he overcame it like gangbusters.
Thank you. So hold
he on. Came from 24-7 down and won going away.
Against the Chargers.
The Chargers who had done a number on my homeboy.
No. They lost to my homeboy.
Yeah, well, they'd done a number on
him. They didn't get no pick sixes.
he was struggling.
And they were 100% healthy.
And then he got away with the play. Your homeboy did.
What play?
It was 6:22 left in the second quarter, and it's 3rd-and-4 at the Kansas City 42, and he drops back to pass, and he's a little shaky, and he's looking, and the ball, wait a second, it's up in the air. Oh, it's intercepted by the Calhoun kid for the Patriots. It's intercepted. What? Wait. There's a whistle?
Yes,
wait,
you heard it.
Tony Corrente, the head ref, he blew his whistle. He said it was in the grass.
Yes.
How could you say that's in the grass?
If that was Tom Brady, you wouldn't want him to say that.
Wait, that's a turnover.
Nope.
And Belichick, you can't challenge it because the whistle blew.
Right.
There's no challenge to be had.
He got it.
And not only
he got
is
it.
This ball intercepted by Calhoun, he's off to the races. He's going to run about. I don't know if he could score because he's a defensive lineman, but again, he's going to go a little ways with it, and maybe it's going to be just a gimme touchdown for the Patriots. Brian Hoyer had his moments. He moved the ball pretty well up and down the field. He just made some terrible mistakes.
The mistakes that you can't make.
I agree, especially on the road in this kind of game. That is a turnover. That was not in the grasp. You know it, and I know it. It should have been a big turnover for my homeboy.
Skip.
And then he might have been the lowercase go to the game, as in blamed for the game.
The Patriots, if they never get another call, their dynasty started on a blown call. Mm. If they never get another call in the rest of their franchise history, they should never complain about a call.
Really? Oh, so that did it. One call back in, 2001? That's 19 years ago, and that should do them in?
Like the Rams. How the Rams going to complain about a pass interference call that goes against them when the week before they had just got one that helped save the game?
Every game is a new separate entity.
Okay.
So in this game, that changed the game because it was only 6-3. And by the way, the score stayed 6-3 all the way until almost the end of the third quarter. We almost went three quarters with my homeboy scoring 6 points, two field goals against Belichick.
If you look at the games in which he hadn't scored a touchdown at the half, all three of them has come against Coach Belichick.
Uh-huh.
Coach Belichick is the great, is arguably the greatest defensive mind that we've seen in this league. Huh. And he has a great game plan, and guys execute that game plan. Huh. But somehow, that guy, he can crack that code eventually.
Really? Well, then how did Russell Wilson crack the code up at Seattle the week before, 2 weeks before, actually? Remember, he went 21 or 28 for 288 and 5 touchdowns against Belichick's defense. How did he do that?
Well,
does that mean he's better than my homeboy?
Stop it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but let that figure.
I mean, the guy set the bar so high.
Huh.
That 19 or 29 for 236 and two tubs with no interceptions is blah.
And one big turnover that got erased.
No, it was not a turnover.
By a quick whistle.
It was not. Skip, you
premature.
Know what?
Premature.
Skip. All the rules that they've altered to protect the quarterback, now you want them to, because it's my homeboy, and you want them to let people get one, two extra shots. And that's what Tony Corrente explained, is that once the guy's in the grass, we're going to protect him. We're not going to let defenders come in and get that extra 1 to 2 shots on him. Mm. Because if Tom Brady, they'd have blew it yesterday, on Sunday.
Mm, interesting. So it sounds like my homeboy, he owns Baltimore. We know that because he
owns New England now.
Lit them up.
Owns New England, too.
Well, does he?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's the other way around.
Last two games, who won?
Yeah. Well, who should have won?
I don't know.
Brian Hoyer and Stid?
And hold on. He hung an L on your boy before he got up out of town, too, remember?
Mm, who's that?
You know who.
I don't know.
Before he left town in Foxborough.
Mm, who's that?
You know who it is.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
All I know is that Tom Brady, when it really mattered in the AFC Championship game, he goes into that very stadium we were watching last night and had three straight third and tens and converted
all
three
in
overtime.
Was Mahomes on the field?
In overtime.
Was Mahomes on the field?
I've never seen anything like that.
Was Mahomes on the field?
That was an achievement almost equal to Jimmy Butler's in game 3.
Look at it. Look at my homeboy. Yeah. Eddie got the crowd hype. He scrambled for 25. He got the crowd hype last night.
I also tweeted about this, and you validated my tweet because you said what I said all last year about Julian Edelman. Broken down, beat up, shell of self, losing confidence. Julian Edelman led the league in drops last year, and he's off to the races this year with two more, and the second one was just horrendous because it goes right through his hands, right into Honey Badger's hands. And it's off to the races for Honey Badger. Oh, thank you very much. Merry Christmas early to you, too. Thank you. Julian, that one you got to catch. That's where you're losing all your confidence, all your faith in yourself. Well, I told you that was Tom Brady's go-to receiver last year. What do you think is going to happen if that guy's your go-to?
The thing is, Skip, is that he's starting to it's one thing to feel and know where they're there, but he's starting to see them.
Mm.
And so Honey Badger's off. There's no reason.
There's no reason.
There's no reason for him
There's
to
no
flinch
threat.
Or anything.
No threat. No threat whatsoever. So the two key receivers down the stretch last year were Julian Edelman, who got 6 balls thrown to him and caught 3 last night for 35 yards, and N'Keal Harry, who came back at midseason last year as a rookie. Last night he had 6 targets, caught 3 balls for a grand total of 21 yards. That's all that Brady had to work with.
And Demir Byrd had 10 targets.
Mm.
But I'm not surprised that James White had 8 targets because they throw to the back.
Mm.
They need a tight end. So I'm not surprised that, you know, James White was was so heavily targeted.
Yep.
That was their game plan. That's like a long handoff for them throwing the ball. They're a big screen team. But 35 rushes, 185 yards, you can win with that.
Mm.
But the thing is, you got to pay it off at the end.
Yep.
And Brian Hoyer instead didn't pay it off
at
the end.
So Tampa Bay is now 3-1, and Belichick is now 2-2. Thank you very much.
Well,
here we go.
Belichick, Cam, he'd had Cam. That might have been, they might have been 3-1, too.
So I gave you a chance yesterday, and you almost took it. You said you wanted to sleep on it. Would you like to rescind the bet? I will take, it's a 5 cases of Diet Mountain Dew bet, and I will take 2 if you want to just call the bet off right now. You can save yourself 3 cases.
Okay, I'll do it because I don't know when Cam is coming back.
Really?
Yeah, Cam might be. But they might be able to, they might be able to beat the Broncos. I don't know. We've got a win last week.
So now you're choking again.
I will let it slide.
You're going to let it slide. You did it, but then you undid it.
I will let it slide. I will go ahead and take these 2 cases.
Okay.
Because I will get them back.
Oh, wait, you are going to take, you're going to take my offer?
Yeah, I'm taking your offer.
Oh, you're so we're done with this bet.
We're done with this
bet. Thank you. I won early.
I will get it back.
Diet Dew, the breakfast
after I get the cases from this NBA Finals.
Yep. Okay, good. Done. Thank you.
Well, you know who else, Shannon, you probably want to talk about? Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because he is continuing to do Aaron Rodgers things this season. While his top two receivers, Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, both missed the game last night, it didn't stop Rodgers from tossing four touchdown passes in the Packers' 30-16 victory over the Falcons. Green Bay is now a perfect 4-0 this season and a full game clear of Chicago for first place in the NFC North. Now, Shannon, I want to start with you and ask you about Aaron Rodgers and a letter grade. And just for the record, guys, the fact that I'm wearing green, this is embarrassing to me. I just want to put it out there. But give me a letter grade for Aaron.
Hey, Skip, he's in complete control of the ball game. Complete control. Oh, he can still skip the throws that he's making. He's stepping the one up to the rail to Jamal Williams. I think that's the Williams kid, the running back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing this with no Devontae, no Lazard, Valdez Scantlin, Robert Tonyan. Scott, come on, man. Who is this kid? Where is tight end coming from? Shepard. Falcons are bad. I don't know what Mr. Blank waiting on. Skip, I ain't calling for nobody's job. But it's not going to get better in Atlanta under Dan Quinn. Skip, it's over. It was over once they lost 28-3. Skip, it was over. There was no coming back from that. You can lose the Super Bowl and overcome that. You're not losing that game like that and overcoming that. Some adversity, Skip, is just too overwhelming, and you never overcome it. It's time to move on. Skip, Atlanta was trying to tackle. Skip, this is how bad it is for them defensively. Skip, they tried to tackle the man. The man fall down, gets up, and still catches it. They go for it on fourth down. Aaron Rodgers hits a guy that gets 17. He has two guys wide open for touchdown.
Well, since you brought that up, could we see that play? I just want to demonstrate what you're talking about, please. Here it is. This is a fourth down play late in the
second quarter. This fourth and two.
Fourth and two. Oh, you're open, but so is everybody on the field open. Everybody, and they're all waving for the football. Wait, you're open, and look across the field. You're open, and you're open, and he throws it underneath. Way to go. That's Atlanta.
That's Atlanta. But to be fair, Skip, when you got backups, and their backups are playing, and in the practice squad guys that back up the backup to the backups, that back up the starter is playing. Skip, what do you think you're going to get? I mean, they're signing guys as of Sunday, as of Saturday. You got to sign guys because you've been besieged by injuries. But it is what it is. Aaron Rodgers, that's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. And even though he's like, you know what? Aaron Rodgers like, it's not my fault you beat up, so I'm going to take advantage of it. And he took full advantage of it, Skip. 97 QBR good?
Yeah, very good.
27 to 33, 327, four tubs. Is that good? So now he has 13 touchdowns, zero interceptions, 70% completion. He's number one in QBR. If you don't mind me asking, Skip, can you tell me down in Tampa Bay, where is he ranked in QBR?
This is about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, well, this is about Aaron Rodgers. He said he's basically sending a message. I believe the two best teams right now in the NFC, Green Bay and Seattle. He's like, Russ, I know you haven't won an MVP and you're playing great, but we're going to just hold off. We're going to play this thing out. 13-0. Is that good, Skip?
And your grade is for last night?
A.
A?
A.
And the degree of difficulty was what? Z?
You got to stick the landing, though. So sometimes, Skip, it's not about, being Simone Biles and trying all this crazy stuff. Sometimes you just got to stick to landing. You know what I'm up against. I need a 9.3. So I don't got to get crazy. Just stick to landing. And the Bulgarian judge going to give me a 10.
Okay, it is my turn to give your man Aaron Rodgers a letter grade. And what I'm going to do is revert to what happened my senior year at Vanderbilt when they allowed us to take one course, what they called pass-fail. And you could even take the course across the street at our little sister school, Peabody College. So a few of us as seniors did. We took human geography across the street at Peabody. And it was the only course in my 4 years there that I kind of mailed it in. I didn't work that hard at it. We just had fun doing it, and we didn't take it very seriously because all you have to do is pass the course.
Right.
You have to get above an, I think it was just above an F. I don't know. That's what I consider. Maybe it was a C or better.
Well, I took a lot of them classes.
Okay. Did you? Okay. So I did pass human geography, and I will give you a P for pass last night.
No,
he passed because that's all he did was pass. He completed 27 passes against the 31st. It's the worst pass defense in pro football, but they're 31st in points allowed going into the game. They had allowed 36 a game, which is only 1 point short of my Dallas Cowboys, who were a complete and utter disaster. So they allowed 36 going in, and Aaron put up 30. Is that good? It's not great. They're 31st in yards allowed at 463, and he put up 403. Is that great? And it's just okay. You probably should have put up 600.
Well, Skip, he probably would have had Matt Ryan had not had a 20 play, like a 13-minute drive.
Mm. So what did my man Dak Prescott do against these Atlanta Falcons? He completed 34 passes for 450 yards, so 27 by Aaron for 327. So not that. Not that impressive.
Skip, my man had the lead.
450. Come on.
Aaron had the lead. Your guy was down by 19 at one point, down by 16. Mm. Aaron had the lead. Can you imagine if the game was back and forth?
Mm.
Aaron might have threw for 600.
Can you imagine what Atlanta would have been if they had their two starting safeties, Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal? They're both gone. A.J. Terrell, starting corner, is gone. Then that KZ kid got carted off with an Achilles injury last night. God bless him. I'm knocking on wood for him. And I can go on that Jalen Hawkins, the backup to the backup safety was in, and he got concussed or something. I don't know.
He was
wobbling to the locker room.
It was bad.
This is horrendous. I have no idea who finished the game in the secondary for the Falcons. So that's why we saw that play, the 4th-and-2 play, where everybody is open. It is shooting fish in a barrel for Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay. It's like, do you want to hit him or him? What do you want to do? And look what he did. He threw 8 balls to his backup running back, Jamal Williams, and he caught all 8 of them.
Yep.
He threw 6 balls to Tanyan, who's becoming a pretty good pass-catching tight end. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the way he moves, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's Kittle's best buddy, offseason workout warrior. And he caught all 6 of his balls. And then my little man, Aaron Jones, he caught all 5 of his balls for
40 more yards. But you're talking about this Aaron Jones-led team. Yeah. This has always been Aaron Rodgers' team.
No, it's last year's MVP was the other Aaron
First of all,
Jones.
Skip, the only person that says that and believe that their quarterback is not the most valuable are you and Jerry.
Mm.
Because everybody else will pay their quarterback. Jerry won't pay his.
Oh,
but
really?
He paid a running back $15 million. You said the offense shouldn't run through him.
Yep.
It should run through Dak.
And you said Dak deserves $40-plus million,
and he
should be 0-4 right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I want to remind everybody that last year, Aaron Rodgers started off hot, and then he just really faded. He, in Pro Football Focus at the end of the year, ranked him the 9th best quarterback, but also had him from week 8 onwards, they ranked him 17th. So the season is just getting started here. And last year, he finished with his worst QBR of his career, which ranked 18th in the league. And he finished with a completion percentage of only 62%, which ranked 21st.
But think about this, Skip. Since you're talking about a cooling off at the end of the season, if I'm not mistaken, the Patriots started off 8-0 and somehow finished the season.
I thought we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Because you and others have said his demise.
Well, his
spoke
team,
of it.
His team screamed about his demise because they traded up from 30th in the first round to 26th to take Jordan Love as a quarterback, and I don't think they want to convert him to wideout. I think they actually want him to replace Aaron Rodgers.
As a matter of fact, I haven't even heard nobody mention Jordan Love, have you? No. I hadn't mentioned nobody mentioned Jordan
Love. All I know
Love.
Is they took him, and obviously they had designs on replacing Aaron Rodgers.
As a matter of fact, I heard somebody mention Buddy Love from the Nutty Professor. You like Nutty Professor?
I do.
Skip. I mean, a 97 QBR, he has a 92 QBR.
Against that team, and you're going to gloat about it? You actually opened this show. You had the audacity to gloat about that against a team that you just destroyed.
How about this here? Did Dak have a 97 QBR against him?
No, he had a high one.
No, but was it 97?
No, it wasn't a 97. Okay. But he threw for 450 versus 327.
And guess what he threw for? 502. Caught an L. He should be 0-4.
I just said that.
My guy.
And you said he deserves $42 million.
And my guy has yet to taste defeat. No. And my guy's on the bye week. Mm. So they're going to get these guys back. They're going to get Devontae back.
Yep.
Now, I don't know. Lazar had a core muscle.
No, it was a core.
Core. Yeah. Devontae, he had surgery. Yeah. So he's going to probably be out another 6 weeks. But Aaron, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We 5-0 without Devontae. Yeah. Huh. Aaron Rodgers, 5-0. How many guys can say, without their number one receiver, they're 5-0?
You know, if you played the Falcons every week from here on, I believe you'd win every game.
No. They're not 5-0 against the Falcons without Devontae Adams. Mm. They're 5-0 against whomever they play without Devontae.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Well, it seems like we got a long season here and that Aaron's recent history over the last 4 years has been start fast and then fade down the stretch.
This is what we do know.
Interesting.
We do know this. The top two quarterbacks right now in the NFC, by any metrics, by any variable you want to use, is Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. That's fact. Now, you want to look at it and talk about all the stuff you want to talk about in Tampa Bay, but all I know is it's Pick Six City, baby. Mm. Pick Six City.
Really?
Hello? Yes, I like to have a reservation for six in the end zone. Yes, Tom will be joining me.
No, Tom will not be joining me.
Yes, he will.
Tom will not chase down a Pick Six.
I mean, Jack Rabbit got it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just throwing. I mean, Skip, does he know that he's not supposed to throw it to the guy on the other team?
No, he's not supposed to throw it to Justin Watson.
So now you blame it, Justin Watson.
Both are to Justin Watson. He's an Ivy Leaguer. What do you expect?
Whoa. I'm trying to figure out how is it his fault that Tom Brady is late and inside on the throw. Mm. I run the speed out, put the ball out in front of me.
You have to go get it.
How? You throwing it back inside where the DB's at. DB doesn't even get out his back pedal.
And how many touchdown passes did he throw against the Chargers defense on Sunday coming from behind? Five. Count them, five. He should have run to the sideline at the end of the game going,
Did you see Aaron last night? He got in front of the camera and flexed on him.
Against the Falcons.
Stop.
The Falcons.
Stop.
You just said Dan Quinn should be fired.
Yeah, well, they're not
you just validated they're down to their third string DVs.
But that's what you skip. That's what you do. Oh. When someone is depleted like that, you don't see, because if the Packers had won this game by say like 3 points or a touchdown, guess what Dan Quinn's going to say? Guys, we besieged by injuries, but I love the way you fought. Mm. He can't go in there and sell that. That was a royal butt kicking.
Oh, wow.
And we got more for you, too.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Enjoy. Don't the Packers play Tampa Bay?
Yep.
Oh!
You might have a chance to get some of your cases back.
I'm going
to
get it back.
It'd be at least a two-case bet.
Bare minimum. Yeah. See, I got you last week.
Yeah.
Oh, Dallas, I tell you one. I know you're going to be giddy on that one.
Yep.
Oh, then it's come Friday, you feeling real good about yourself. I want another one.
I was true to my team, and I told you it was going to be the last time, so I put my due where my mouth was and my heart was.
I know.
And I lost.
I know.
And now we have to talk about them again.
I love it. I love it, Skip.
So we're going to bet on that one? You already want to bet on it? Back Packers, Bucks? You guys want to?
Oh, yeah. We already got two cases on that.
Yep.
It'll probably be up to like 3 or 4 by the time it rolls right.
We got a ways to go until
it's later in the season?
I forget. They're in Chicago Thursday. Then I don't know.
Yeah, October 18th. So
hold on. Tampa Bay, Chicago. Oh, Nicky Foles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, darling, Nicky. You know what happened last time he got with old Tom.
Did you say Nikki?
Oh, darling, Nikki.
That's what we're doing? Okay.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
The Heat are looking to even the NBA Finals against the Lakers tonight in Game 4. Miami got some momentum Sunday night thanks to Jimmy Butler's monster 40-point triple-double. In that game, Butler became the first player ever to outscore, out-rebound, and out-assist LeBron in a Finals game. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us this morning. Chris, do you expect LeBron to outplay Jimmy Butler?
Yes, I do, Jen. Look, obviously LeBron's number one motivation is to win the championship, his fourth ring. But Jimmy Butler gave him extra motivation on Sunday. Number one, as you said, he outplayed LeBron. Number two, he talked trash with the "you're in trouble." But he said a few other things. He also said later that they're going to win Game 4 and even this thing up at 2-2, essentially guaranteeing another victory. He's also getting credit for guarding LeBron, and a lot of people are saying, hey, he forced LeBron into many of those 8 turnovers. The Heat have found something. Then Jimmy Butler talked about how that LeBron has gotten the best of him in the past too many times, but now Butler has a different group of guys with him, implying that LeBron only got the best of him because he had a better supporting cast, which is ridiculous. So I do expect LeBron to come out and play an exceptional game. I think he has 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 or 10 assists. I think he helps the Lakers win. I'll throw this out there, though. It is possible that Jimmy Butler outscores LeBron, and here's why. LeBron has another superstar to share the scoring load with. I expect Anthony Davis to follow up that mediocre game or poor game in Game 3 with at least 30 points. Every time in the playoffs that he's had a bad offensive game, he's averaged 40. He had 43 one game earlier and then 37 following another poor game. So AD will score a lot of points, so I think that'll limit how much LeBron scores. Jimmy Butler, of course, especially if Bam Adebayo doesn't play, Jimmy Butler has to score at least 30 for the Heat to have a shot. He's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to be making all the plays like he did in Game 3. So he could have good numbers, especially scoring-wise, but LeBron will play the better game and lead Lakers to victory.
Yes, I expect LeBron to outplay Jimmy Butler tonight. And I agree with you, Chris, not necessarily scoring, because Anthony Davis, they've run the offense through Anthony Davis all year, and especially in these playoffs. There's a reason why Anthony Davis averaged more points in the regular season and has averaged more points in the playoffs than LeBron James. They run the ball through. And I can't remember the first game that they played. They went to AD like 7 straight possessions, and he had more points. I mean, he had like the first 14, 16 points, because that's what Eagles do. And then once AD gets going, LeBron James will see what needs to be done after that and go from there. But I don't think they'll be as careless or as reckless with the basketball as they were. They understand what the Heat represents. They got reckless, they got careless, and before they knew it, they were later in the ball game and they were having to dig uphill. And even though Jimmy had this historic great game and they turned the ball over 20 times and AD nor LeBron played particularly well, AD because of foul trouble, LeBron because of the turnovers, they still had a 2-point lead with 9 minutes left in the ball game. And they completely fell apart after that. So I like where the Lakers are. And let this sink in. It took 52 games for someone to outscore, out-rebound, out-assist LeBron. Not only from the opposing team, even his team. I feel good. It won't happen again.
Mm. So what, we got a victory parade game tonight?
Lakers in five.
That's what I predicted. I believe Chris predicted Lakers in 5, correct?
Yes.
As I recall.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I'm with both of you times 10. I want to challenge LeBron to have a king night tonight because this could be a legacy type game for LeBron. They're in some dangerous territory right now because the Heat have been playing angrier and angrier. I remind you also, LeBron walked off the floor 10 seconds prematurely, and I don't think the Heat will take that well. And then LeBron disagreed with Jimmy Butler about the origin of the trash talk. LeBron said, no, I didn't start it. He started it. Well, somebody's not telling the truth. So I think the Heat will come out tonight and play even angrier than they did in game 3. I told Shannon earlier, I love LeBron the most when he plays angry. And I'm talking about focused angry. I'm not talking about out of control, want to fight you angry. I'm talking about, you know, when LeBron comes out and says, I am all business tonight, and I am in attack mode from my first dribble.
Oh, you want to see him like he was in Denver when he came out the first half and dropped 29. You want to see that LeBron.
Yeah, and I don't even know what got into him that night. But tonight is deeper water. Because this Heat team could be dangerous if it gets to 2-2. If you let them seize momentum, they will run with it. And Jimmy Butler in game 3 obviously outplayed LeBron in every way, shape, and form on both ends of the floor, and he called out LeBron. So now it's up to LeBron to stand up to the challenge. It's up to LeBron to get even with Jimmy Butler, and Shannon says, well, it's beneath LeBron's dignity. He doesn't have one-on-one contests with anybody. But I got to tell you, this is about as one-on-one as it's ever going to get for the King because Jimmy Butler is the whole show for the other team. They are it's an epic mismatch except for Jimmy Butler. I love his intangibles. I've never loved his overall talent. He's not the most gifted player. He's not the best shooter. He just knows how to win basketball games. And he also is very clever and creative in creating shots. And he knows how to create two-point shots because the incredible thing about his 40-point triple-double, he didn't even try a three because he's not very good from three.
That's amazing.
Okay? It is amazing. And on the other end, they found a new strategy. They scrapped the zone, and Jimmy said, let me take LeBron. And how did he guard him? He guarded him in the paint. He dared him. He went back to the old San Antonio Spurs philosophy. Dare him to shoot threes. And in the fourth quarter, LeBron had three uncontested, wide-open threes, and he LeBricked them. They didn't even come close. And you got to make those shots tonight because Jimmy's going to hang back, and he's going to bother you in the paint. He's going to try to get up with you and at least get a hand in your face and a hand on the basketball. And he forced LeBron into, well, shock me, two travels in the fourth quarter where he just sort of awkwardly lost his...
He poured a chair out from under.
Okay. Well, he did. And it's like, huh? What am I doing? And he sort of stumbled across the lane, and the referees are like, I'm sorry, that's a travel. Well, I'd never seen that before, and he did it twice in the fourth quarter, and it was all about Jimmy Butler. So I do believe LeBron will come out with smoke coming out of his ears, nose, eyes. I think he needs to get even with Jimmy because Jimmy is everything to the Heat. And if LeBron wants to, he should take him. And if LeBron needs help on defense, he should get it because I think they should try to double Jimmy more than they did in game 3 and get the ball out of his hands. Shannon says, well, they got too many snipers. Well, I'd rather the snipers try to beat me than Jimmy Butler because he is highly capable.
Well, to mention, before you go, Chris, they did do that against Jamal Murray. They trapped him, and they trapped James Harden.
Yep.
And they says, okay, Russ, do your thing. Everybody else can beat us. Okay, they play Jokic straight up, but they got the ball out of Murray's hand.
They did.
For the last two games, and it worked in their favor. So they just might.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, they may go that route. And what else is that without Bam Adebayo in, you know they had shooters all over the floor. Kelly Olynyk playing as a big man shooting threes. That took the Lakers shot blockers away from the rim. And so Jimmy Butler could drive and not have to finish over the seven-footers. When Bam comes back and then AD or Dwight can stay near the rim, that'll be different for him. But that's why he was able to score 40 without even taking a three-point shot. We know he's not much of a three-point shooter, but he could get to the rim and finish without the bigs there. So that was a big factor as well.
So are you with Shannon? Do you think they're better off with Kelly Olynyk in the lineup over Bam?
I will not go that far. I mean, look, if they win tonight and Olynyk has a great game, you know, Bam doesn't play, then maybe you can make an argument. But Bam does a lot. Obviously, he's great defensively. He's a really good passer. He doesn't shoot the three either, you know, but I can't go that far because he's so tough and he's kind of like the one of the inspirational leaders of that team.
Yeah, he's the power source. He's the heart and soul.
Yep.
But my point is,
if they win tonight, if Miami wins tonight, obviously you got a series. Because beyond other things, Jimmy Butler will have trash-talked LeBron and outplayed him and live to tell about it.
Yep.
About it. So that'll be a factor. Miami already is confident and feeling good about itself. They'll be even more higher in that regard if they win tonight.
We're going to snuff that out. For me, Chris, in a vacuum, Bam is better than Olynyk. Bam is better than Myles Leonard. But what he does, what they give them that Bam doesn't, is live three-point shooters. And so now while you have Dwight Howard in the game, you neutralize that because he's not near the paint. He doesn't get the rebounds. He doesn't challenge shots. AD is away from the basket. He doesn't challenge. He doesn't get opportunity to rebound because they have to guard those guys. Bam is pick and roll, pick to the basket. Those guys are pick and roll and can pick and pop, which Bam does not do particularly well. So I just think they're different. They might not be better, but they're a very different team. And Bam in the lineup plays to the Lakers' hand. The bigs are around the basket, can challenge shots, rebound, as opposed to being away from the basket. Mm. But don't worry about all that. We're going to take care of that tonight. I'll be happy in the morning. I'll be happy in the morning.
Your co-star better rise and shine tonight.
I ain't worried about AD. Hey. AD got this.
Hey.
65.
If he's guarded by Myers Leonard or Kelly Olynyk, he should get whatever he wants.
You want two cases?
He should go for 40.
I want two cases. LeBron and AD could get at least 65.
This should be a wipeout. You should win by 25.
Okay. No.
You said
15.
Six, Shannon, though.
Huh?
You said six.
Oh. I did.
Maybe you said six, so maybe they lose tonight.
I was superstitious, Chris. Keep saying six because I said six the first second, and we won them in five.
You're superstitious, that's what it comes down to? Yep. All right, good to know. Chris, thank you.
Five, okay.
I don't know. We're going to check in with you, I'm sure, tomorrow to break this one down, everything from game four.
No mercy.
The Texans fired head coach and general manager Bill O'Brien yesterday after their 0-4 start to the season. O'Brien, who's been with the club since 2014, had won four division titles but never advanced to the AFC Championship game. O'Brien's moves as GM have also raised eyebrows, including trading away Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins in the past year. So, Shannon, did he deserve to be fired?
Yeah, I think there was a new voice that needed to be heard, and I think JoJ Watt spoke that on Sunday, Skip. He said something has to change. He said, and I think that was when the ownership group said, you know what? That ain't just anybody. That's J.J. Watt speaking. And when J.J. said that, it seemed like it started with... But he set these chain of events in motion himself. When he became the general manager, Skip, he traded away Jadeveon Clowney, and you get a third-round pick for Jadeveon Clowney? He let personal feelings get involved. Dwayne Brown, you got a premier left tackle on your roster. You trade him to Seattle because he spoke out because he didn't like what Mr. McNair said about prisoners running the prison, and you trade him. So in the process, you're like, well, damn, we're out of left tackle now. Now you got to give up first-rounders to go get Laramie Tunsil.
You gave away your draft future.
You gave away your draft future for him.
Yep.
And then you trade away D. Hopkins for a running back in the second round. Skip, ain't nobody trading away a running back for a top wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You gave up a top three wide receiver for what? Maybe a 10th or 11th best running back?
And he now leads the league in catches.
And so I'm trying to figure out, okay, you let Honey Badger walk in free agency.
You did.
So... Bill O'Brien, the general manager, did Bill O'Brien, the head coach, a terrible disservice.
He did.
And so in the process, maybe I want to keep the head coach, but the head coach is the general manager, kind of like what happened with Mike Shanahan when he was in Denver, Skip. Mike was the head coach and the general manager. Mr. B really wanted to keep the head coach, but he knew there's no way he was going to be able to fire the general manager and keep the head coach. Mm. And I believe the ownership group, I think the son is taking over now for his father.
Cal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is taking over for his father. He says, well, I want to fire the general manager, but since the general manager is the head coach also, I'm going to have to fire both of you. He's done a terrible... It was time for a new voice. You got a premier quarterback, and for whatever reason, whatever he's saying is not resonating in that locker room. Mm-hmm. And so it's time to get a new voice. But he blew this. With all these bad moves, he got let it get personal with he and D-Hop. He let it get personal with he and Dwayne Brown.
Yep.
He and Jadeveon Clowney. And they've ruined this. He's ruined this team. He did this on his own.
Agreed. My first reaction was yesterday, what took you so long? This has gone from bad to worse.
Yes.
Now they're 0-4. I am the biggest Deshaun Watson fan, and I believe he's been handicapped by Bill O'Brien, the play caller, and Bill O'Brien, the general manager, because not only did he have total control of the football operation, then he became the GM. So how did he sort of charm or con his way into that? I don't know. But with the McNair family, he pulled that off.
I think, Skip, because the son maybe was back and he's like, well, you know, hey, he's been around Coach Belichick and yep. he knows this. You know, just let him, you know, and we'll just try to figure this thing out as we go along. And he's like, man, we gave away Jadeveon Clowney for a third. We let Dwayne Brown walk, and then we have to give up first round. We had a left tackle. Skip, why would you trade your left tackle to end up having to acquire another one with first round picks?
Don't know. He got away with it. He stayed afloat because they won another bad division four times.
Right.
That's four division titles and four playoff games, and they won a couple of those at home.
Right.
It's really not... It's not enough because
no.
the division was so bad.
Right.
It was so winnable that it sugarcoated what was not a healthy situation.
Agreed.
Okay. So now we look back at Bill Belichick disciples, chips off the old block. There are none because it's like the Jimmy Johnson staff that I knew so well in Dallas. They're all great guys, and they all had their moments as head coaches, but they're not Jimmy.
No, because you don't have Troy. You yeah. don't have Emmitt. No, you don't have Michael.
No, and you don't have that force field who is Jimmy Johnson. Dave Wannstedt's a really good football coach
yes.
and a great defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, he had his moments, but he couldn't be Jimmy. Norv Turner had his moments, but he couldn't be Jimmy. You can go down
Romeo
the line.
Romeo Crennel and Charlie yeah, White. Right,
just go down the line.
Josh McDaniel.
Yeah, I'm back in Dallas.
Oh, you're talking about Dallas. Okay.
Butch Davis.
Butch Davis,
know,
okay,
like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
They would have
Dave
their
Campo.
Moments. Yes, there you go. There you go. So find me one Belichick disciple or chip off the block. Show me one who had great success, who became the next Belichick.
No.
It never happens.
Well, let me ask you a question, Skip. Do they go bring Tom Brady? Because that's what they needed to ask him.
Yeah.
I understand you spent all your time under Coach Belichick, but when you come to my team, are you bringing Tom? Because if you look at Mike Holmgren,
mm-hmm.
until he got, look at Andy. Andy had a little success, but it wasn't until he got Mahomes that, because he had Brett Favre. You
yep.
know, Brett Favre wins you a lot of games. Brett Favre got a lot of people heads. Think about all the guys. Skip, Mariucci, Gruden. A lot of guys got job mm-hmm. because of Brett Favre. It's kind of like the same situation in Baltimore. Ray Lewis got a lot of defensive coordinators and position coaches, head coaching jobs.
So I read early this morning, the latest report and speculation out of Houston is that the pro personnel director used to work for New England and is very close with Josh McDaniels, that he might be at the top of the list. What happened to Josh McDaniels as a head coach in Denver? Help me out.
He was terrible.
Okay.
Skip, no, he... It's hard to find, Skip. It's hard to find someone that at least someone says, you know what? He was okay. Skip, I defy you to go to Denver. I'm talking about from the video to the equipment to the training staff to up to find one person to say something nice about Josh McDaniels.
Mm.
One.
Okay. Good point. And I also defy you to go around the league and find one person who has something bad to say about Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, yeah, E.B. Cool.
Who's obviously calling plays for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And is integral in putting those game plans together with the great offensive mind that is Andy Reid.
Skip, some of these jobs are going to come available.
Yeah.
Okay, the Houston job is available. Okay, Romeo Crennel is going to be the interim head coach. The Jets will come available. There are going to be some jobs come available. Now, if EB doesn't get one of these jobs, they're going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand all this lip service and end racism and we can do this and all that. All that's fine and good.
Mm-hmm.
These slogans and hashtags work wonderful. But where are the hiring practices? Where is the fruit? I need a tree to bear fruit. Because y'all keep telling me this. Y'all keep selling us this. Oh, yeah. Well, he's ready. Okay.
He's been ready.
Yeah. Because I saw a guy that was a position, that's a special teams coach. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be because John Harbaugh was a special teams coach.
I got it.
But, hell, Joe Judge got a job at Eric Bieniemy calling plays in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he ain't got no job.
Nope.
He's still out. Well, he doesn't have a head job. Mm-hmm. So, and Skip, also, I think the writing was on the wall because they could look and see. The Tennessee Titans got better. Their quarterback play has gotten better. The Colts, their quarterback play is better now they got Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
So what was going to be a foregone conclusion because we had the overwhelming, the best quarterback in this division, mm-hmm. we're going to win this division, no longer. I still believe he's the best, but because of Tennessee getting better, because the Colts are getting better, what are we holding on to it for?
Mm.
You let DeAndre Hopkins go for a running back?
Mm.
Skip, and now you don't have a first round, second round pick in 2021.
Mm.
So you
well, are you saying if Eric Bieniemy got this job, it would be a dead end street for him?
It's going to be a wild, Skip.
Yeah.
Are they going to give him? Because here's the they need. He's like, you know what? I need me one of these Matt Rule. I need one of these 6-7 year deals.
Yep.
I don't need no 3 or 4 year deal. I need 6 or 7.
I agree with that. I hear
because
you.
I ain't got no first round. I got no first or second round pick in 2021.
You got one good thing going for you. You got that quarterback.
Yes.
I would love to see Eric with that quarterback, EB as you call him.
Yep.
Good things would start happening.
Well, you better get one of these jobs, Jets, somebody.
Yep.
No mercy.
Tonight on FS1, the National League Division Series begins with a pair of Game 1s. The Marlins battle Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Braves. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. Eastern. Then later on, Fernando Tatis Jr. leads the Padres against Mookie Betts and the Dodgers at 9 p.m. Eastern. The NLDS begins tonight only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Well, the Cowboys are a disappointing 1-3. Dak has thrown for 974 yards in the past 2 weeks, the most over a two-game span in NFL history. But when asked about that record on Sunday afternoon, Dak was pretty blunt, saying, quote, "I care about one stat, and that's to win. So when we don't do that, no other stats matter." However, in a recent look at Dak's play in the clutch, defined as when the team is down 4-8 points late in a game when they need a touchdown, the numbers show that he's below the league average in yards per attempt, touchdown rate, and sack rate. I don't know about that. It is always good, though, when Reggie Bush joins Undisputed. Reggie, I start with you. Is Dak Prescott overrated?
No, Dak Prescott is not overrated. I actually love the Dak Prescott that I'm seeing right now because I feel like this Dak Prescott we're seeing right now is a very mature, calm, and poised quarterback in the pocket. And we've seen him make really good throws week in and week out, each and every play, especially this season. But I believe that Dak Prescott is a product of his environment. I believe what's happening with the Dallas Cowboys is a product of Jerry's world. And this is the circus kind of that Jerry has created. And I look at Mike McCarthy as a head coach because he's the one that's leading the ship. And for anybody out there who may or may not understand, an NFL football team or any football team takes on the personality of its head coach, right? And so what I see right now from the Dallas Cowboys is the same thing I saw from Mike McCarthy when he was with the Green Bay Packers. Now, I do want to give you guys one stat. In 2018, Mike McCarthy's defense was the number 22 scoring defense in the NFL. In 2019, when Matt LaFleur took over, they jumped to the number 9 defense in just 1 year with most of the same players. So what does that tell you? On our college football show, we talk a lot about the development of players. I don't believe Mike McCarthy is the right person for this job. I don't believe he's developing the players the right way. I believe he's developing the offense. He's a mastermind on offense. But when you look at defense, that's not his forte. And I don't believe he's developing the defensive players. I would hire Mike McCarthy as my offense coordinator any day of the week. But as a head coach, we've already been there and done that. And so we're seeing Jerry Jones trying to go back to the past and bring head coaches back now to the current state of football and trying to adjust, you know, to the current game. I don't blame Dak Prescott. I don't think he's washed up. I believe he's a product of his environment. And I believe Mike McCarthy can't coach defense.
Wow.
I don't believe Dak is overrated. I know his numbers are overrated. Let this sink in for a second. Dak Prescott has thrown 2 passes when his team had the lead. Reggie, we're 4 weeks into the season. He's thrown mm-hmm. 2 passes when his team's had the lead. When the score was tied, 14-14, the next 5 possessions, 0. 8 of 15, 53 yards, and I know one thing. The score was 41-14. That's what it was.
By the start of the fourth quarter, yeah.
91% of Dak yards have come when they're trailing. 90, that's 1,500. Dak has got a little over 1,600 yards. So 1,500 has come when they're trailing. Skip. 50% of Dak yards have come when the team is trailing by at least two scores.
Hmm.
I ain't got nothing to say.
That's it?
I ain't saying Dak overrated, but I'm saying these numbers are hella overrated.
I think you just said
he's
overrated.
It's play calling, though, man.
So, Reggie Bush, I admire your courage plunging out to the end of the limb. You're saying Mike McCarthy is the wrong man, wrong time, wrong job. I do remind you, Mike McCarthy has been 10 years ago. He did win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. And was it Dom Capers was the coordinator?
Capers was,
I believe he was. But somehow that defense was good enough to win a Super Bowl, right? I don't disagree with your premise about the rest of it. And then some cronyism took place. Because once upon a time, Mike Nolan, when he was the head coach in San Francisco, we're going way back when, he gave Mike McCarthy a start as a coordinator. And Mike paid him back by bringing him out of sort of semi-retirement.
Was that 04, 05? Because Alex Smith was the first pick in the draft.
Way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, again, he hired Mike Nolan to be the coordinator this year in Dallas. And the last time Mike was a coordinator was in Atlanta in 14, 15, 16. And they were like at the bottom of the barrel in defense. Well, how can you sell that? So the defense is at all time. It's the worst defense. I've been following this team since 1960. It's the worst since the expansion Cowboys in 1960.
We don't count them.
We don't count them. So back to Dak. Look, I love what he's made of because you want to talk about a comeback warrior. You put him in a desperate situation. He isn't just good. He's all-time great. And you got to give him some credit for the empty calories because empty calories aren't that easy to he puts a – listen to this. You want a stat? The last three games, Dak Prescott has thrown for more yards in the last three than anyone in NFL history has thrown in a three-game span.
Yes.
What happened? Right. They should have lost all three, right? Because they should have lost the Atlanta game, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So he baffles me. I have a hard time drawing a bead on him because even last year he would pull off great comebacks. And he couldn't put the exclamation point on it. He couldn't close the deal. Three quick examples. Remember the game at the Jets when you were up in Denver rooting like crazy up in the owner's box for the Jets? Well, he rallied them all the way back, and they got a two-point conversion try with 43 seconds left to send it to overtime. And he throws it to your man, Jason Witten, and it wasn't the best throw. It was a little offline. The safety came in and got a hand on it, okay? And then remember what happened against Minnesota? He was on fire driving them down the field. Looked like they were going to pull out a last-ditch touchdown to win the game. Then they go Zeke on second and third down. Then it's fourth and five, and he throws it in the dirt to Zeke. And it was a terrible pass. I was the first to admit it was a bad pass. Okay, and then what happened at Philly? Late in the game, he gets Tavon Austin wide open like 10 yards behind the cornerback, and he just airmailed him. He overthrew him by 10 yards.
Yes.
Okay? Well, I can't defend any of that, so it's back to those clutch stats. When you're within a touchdown in the last 4 minutes, he's been below average because he doesn't have exclamation points where he threw that one. Now, opening game at Rams, I thought the one to Gallup was going to be that pass that got them to overtime, and they called a bogus push-off. Yeah, it was bogus.
But, Skip, here's the thing. Reggie, you know this. It's a lot easier to play when you're 25 points down because there's no expectations of you coming back. So anything that you get the game close, people go like, oh, man, he almost brought him back. But look at, like you said, the clutch throws. Look at when the game was within three or the game was tied. Not all of a sudden the numbers don't look so – what happened? You mean to tell me it's tied 14-14. You go five straight possessions and only can get five first downs with 53 yards, and then after the game is 41-14, you go on this historic tear? Something's not adding up, Skip.
Okay, so at Seattle, he pulls off a great escape. It wasn't good. It was great. Yes. I don't know how he got loose and stood upright.
I don't either.
Okay, without falling. And yet he comes up, and he didn't look like he had a good grip on the ball. It's a little wobbly. And now if you pull that off and you throw one in the end zone and your guy catches it, we got a whole different conversation right now, but he throws it to the other team.
Right.
Okay? Well, I can't defend that. So I'm seeing a guy who, remember what Rob Ryan said a couple of weeks ago? He's Jordan-esque in these comebacks because he's, to Reggie's point, he is so poised, he is so calm, he is so in control and in command until you got to punctuate it with, this is the one that won the game, and I don't have that. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah. But Skip, I want to push back on one thing because we saw videos of Mike McCarthy sitting in his farmhouse going over film. He even put together a staff while he didn't have a job.
He did.
Talking about how, listen, this is, I want to stay invested in a game. I want to continue to study. I want to continue to build. I want to continue to grow so that when that next opportunity comes, I am ready to go. Well, here we are, Mike McCarthy. Here we are, Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. You have done all that studying and preparation for what? What did you learn? How did you get better? How are you going to develop this defense? Because this defense was good with Jason Garrett. They had a top 10 defense. They were nasty. Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence. They got some players on that football team. And what it comes down to is, are you able to develop the talent on the football field? We've seen Bill O'Brien get fired. Adam Gase is coming up. We got a couple other coaches probably coming up. But what that tells me is you either are developing talent or you're not developing talent at all. And right now, I see Mike McCarthy as a great offensive coordinator, But as a head coach, I don't see it's not working right now, and the players aren't responding to it. And so what happened is, Shannon Sharp, you noticed, what happens is when you're telling me to do something in practice in the week of, and then I go on the football field and it doesn't work, or we're still losing games, what happens? Players start to lose trust. And when players lose trust early in you, season's over. Yeah. Season's over. Ain't nothing they
could
do.
I think the thing also is that Mike McCarthy, Skip, got bailed out a lot because he's had some bad defenses. And Aaron Rodgers, the season that they went 15-1, their defense was dead last. But because Aaron Rodgers played at a historic level, he was able to overcome that.
We get that.
Sometimes you get quarterbacks, and Tom Brady can overcome sometimes when the defense is playing bad. But Dak is not at that level yet. He's not – He can win a game or two, but he hadn't turned the corner completely. Is that in a game like this, like we have, if that's Aaron Rodgers win this game. Mm. If that's Tom Brady, they win this game. And that's where Dak's going to have to be. 8 times out of 10, when he get them reeling like this, he has to finish. He has to carry it across the finish line, and he has been unable to do that more times than not. But I'm just trying to figure out, why do you keep putting yourself in this situation, though, Skip?
Yep. Okay, just quick points of order, just to be fair about it. They're down Leighton Vander Esch. He's gone for a while.
He can't stay healthy.
Okay, he can't, and neither can Sean Lee. So two of your stalwarts are gone from the defense, but there's still a lot of high-paid stars over there.
They should have been moved on from Sean Lee. Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I am with you on that. But in the end, Reggie, I don't know if you saw the Odell play the other day, but Shannon and I just go out of our minds about it because he bent it back 20 yards, and the whole defense should have been waiting on him maybe 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and nobody tried to tackle him. Well, that's a quit play. That's a give-up play, and that reflects on the coaching staff to me.
Reggie,
we're showing it right now. Reggie, I mean, you tell me the guy that's trying to get there.
Somebody tackling.
Look at the guy.
They ran out of bounds.
Where is the pursuit? Where is the pursuit? Where are the safeties? Where are the corners?
I don't know.
Why is your middle linebacker the only person chasing down Odell Beckham Jr.? That's the issue. And one point I do want to make, man. I'm watching the Green Bay Packers last night. Aaron Rodgers looks absolutely happy. He just looks like a kid again. Like, I thought at one point, him and Matt LaFleur were going to hug and kiss on the sideline. Did you guys see that moment where he had his hands on his shoulder? I've never seen Aaron Rodgers act like that with a head coach. So that tells you everything you need to know. Mm. The players are either responding to the head coach or they're not. I don't need to wait 3, 4, 5 years to know that. I don't want to waste my career waiting for a coach to figure it out for the next 4 or 5 years. Mm. If you're the New York Jets, don't call me. Don't trade for me. Don't draft me. If you're the New York Giants, same thing, because you guys are not developing talent. Mm. You're not putting your players in position to succeed. And then guess what? Players can't get paid. Mm. When players can't get paid, that's the issue.
I saw Aaron Rodgers do this after that touchdown last night.
Mm.
He got in front of the camera. I don't want to see Tom do that. No, I don't want to see Tom do that. Aaron
He's
already
got
did
guns.
It.
Tom. liability.
Reggie, such a great point about Aaron Rodgers. How often do we see him looking that happy?
Happy.
I hadn't thought about it
that
way. With
13 touchdowns, zero interceptions, it'll do that, averaging 300 yards a game. It'll do that.
Good? Okay, that's how it is. Reggie, we appreciate your time. We'll check in with you soon. No mercy.